Day Christ is born. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading, a reading from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. And the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. May all the kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service. Compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, will be forever. Amen. The second reading, a reading from Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For you surely have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God and its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Today we leave the Christmas season. We leave the story that Luke gives us of the beautiful Bethlehem birth with the angels and the shepherds. Today we begin the season of Epiphany, moving from that wonderful rejoicing of the incarnation, God's coming among us as in human form, to the Epiphany season when we reflect on what does that mean that God is among us? What does it mean to us and to the world? We think of Christmas as a time of unity and harmony. Even Washington, D.C. called a ceasefire for Christmas Day, at least for one day. But Christmas has passed. Even the most liturgical churches and homes will have all of their Christmas decorations down and put away after today's celebrations, after this 12th day of Christmas. And already gone is any temporary peace that we may have found on Christmas Day. We take an honest look at our world and at our culture, and it reveals that people are willing to tolerate a deep ideological divide. We live in a time when compromise is so often seen as a negative, as a weakness. We live in a time of classic us versus them mentality, that us versus them really dominates. We are the good people, the ones with the right way of thinking and the right way of acting, and they are the bad people, the others, the ones who are wrong in their thinking and wrong in their acting. They constitute a threat, and everything about them is suspect. There's more scapegoating and blaming going on than reason and accepting responsibility. Too many of us are sure that if you're not like us, then you must be against us. If you don't agree with us, then you're wrong. And of course, we are the ones that God listens to because we pray the right way and we say the right words. That list of them and us seems almost endless. Documented against undocumented, Democrats against Republicans, liberals against conservatives, Westerners against Middle Easterners, Muslims against Christians, rich against poor, male against female, whoever else against whomever else. Us against them. The Bible gives us an account of the ancient Hebrew people who show us very clearly that them versus us thinking is not at all new. We look back into the story of these ancient people and we see that the Israelites had developed a very strong sense of identity that set them against the other. Some of this came from an understanding that God had set them apart to be an example to the rest of the nations. There was a sort of self-defense as they sought new land and fought hard to hold on to the land that they considered God-given land. In an attempt to maintain the purity of their faith, they saw outsiders, anyone other than themselves, as a threat to their faith, a threat to their integrity of what it meant to be God's chosen people. They divided the world into us and them, the people of Israel on one hand, and the others, the Gentiles, on the other hand. And their experience was not unlike that of other nations and other tribes. Each group of people, each nation, circling their wagons around their own culture and their own people, us against them, us against the outsiders. There is a poem by Edwin Markham. He wrote this poem in the first part of the last century, and it's called Outwitted. This is the first half of the poem. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. Israel drew a circle around itself. They knew that they were a people specially chosen by God, and everybody else, the Gentiles, had to be kept out. But there were other voices. There were other voices that were speaking for a more inclusive worldview, like Isaiah that we heard in the first reading this morning. And those voices throughout history led to a crescendo in Christ Jesus, in the birth at Bethlehem. Today's gospel opens a door for a new understanding. Jesus, born in a little town, a completely Jewish community, total isolation from anyone on the outside, was visited by wise men from a completely different culture, a different nation, a different culture, outside of that circle, different faith, different belief in God. These foreigners, astrologers, magicians, we call them magi or magi, from the word magic. So they weren't believers in the one true God. They weren't a part of that faith community. They believed in the stars. They believed in magic. And they come and into this community of chosen, of God's chosen people who were the us, and they claimed Jesus as their Messiah, as their king, and worshiped them. The story of the Magi, these wise men paying homage to the Christ child, marks the beginning of a new understanding. This is the story of a God of all people, a God of unity, a God who moves his people beyond us versus them. It's like the last half of that poem by Markham. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Our seventh grade confirmation class is studying about the Bible, where it comes from, how it's made up of different books, how it was written, why we believe what's written there. And one of the questions that came up was this: are all the stories in the Bible true? And the confirmation candidates came up with an answer that I think is a very good answer to that question. I'm stepping on something here. This is their answer. The event may or may not have happened, but it is true because of the meaning of the story. What is the point God is making in this story? And the seventh grade confirmation class came up with this: find the point and you'll find the truth. That's a good way to look at today's Epiphany Gospel. One could ask a lot of questions about this account. First of all, why is it only recorded in Matthew's Gospel? The other Gospel writers don't even mention, don't mention kings, don't mention the star, don't mention anything about this. Why is Matthew the only one that writes about it? How many kings were there? Doesn't say. It has, there's no number. It just says the kings. There could have been 73. There could have been seven. There could have been one. No, it had to be two. It said kings. When did it happen? How long after Jesus' birth? And what about that star? Was it a comet? Was it a supernatural phenomenon? And what about those odd baby gifts? Gold, frankincense, myrrh. You've all heard the joke that if the kings had been women, they would have brought a casserole and baby diapers and a little more practical than a box of gold. Confirmation students in their study of the Bible would tell us that none of that really matters. Look beyond the event and look for God's truth. What is the point of the story? Wise men bringing gifts highlight the fact that the ultimate gift is that God loves all people in all places at all times. The point is that there is no us against them. There is only the inclusive love of God, the truth of the incarnation, Jesus Christ born for you and for me, Jesus Christ born for all of us. The point is that God is for us, Jew and Gentile, Christian and Muslim, conservative and liberal, rich and poor, male and female, black and white, and yellow and brown and red, strong and weak, married and single, gay and straight, young and old, us and them. Through this inclusive God, we are all related. The Lakota Indians have a word, a phrase, that means we are all related. Matakayu Oasen. Matakayu Oasen. We are all related. And they start almost every prayer with that. Matakayu Oasen. We are all related. What a good way. And we start our prayers in the same way. How do we start the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. We don't say my Father, because this is not the truth. It's our Father. So we use that understanding in our words, that God is for all of us. We are all related. There can't be any us and them in God's kingdom. We are all related. We could rewrite that poem. They drew a circle that shut us out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But God's love had the wit to win. Christ drew a circle and took all of us in. Amen.